Now, that Thomas Erskine piece was originally an orchestral piece. The lineup would have been strings, two oboes, and two horns. So, as you can see, it's quite a different combination that we have performing this music. Now, this is a tradition that dates from that time. Mozart tapped into it, Beethoven did, Haydn did, and it's called harmony music. And it is tradition specifically relating to wind instruments. Of course, in the 18th century, there was no amplification of any kind. There was no recorded music or any radios or television, so the only music was live music. And very often, music was listened to outdoors. And just the sheer physics of how instruments work or don't work is that wind instruments can be heard at quite a distance, whereas playing outdoors, string instruments, the sound doesn't carry so well. So it became very popular as a form of outdoor music. So an 18th century fringe could well have included music of this kind. And we carry on that tradition with this next piece, which is from much later. It's still 125 years old, but this was written in 1905. And this is the Introduction and Allegro by Sir Edward Elgar. Now, those of you who have seen the little green leaflet, you'll see that a very creative graphic designer who actually made that leaflet has created a picture of Thomas Erskine shaking hands with Edward Elgar in front of Canongate Church. That, of course, is pure fantasy. But it was a rather nice image to bring it all together. The Introduction Allegro is much better known. I'm sure some of you at least will have heard this piece in its original string form, which is for quite a large string orchestra with a solo string quartet. Now, in the transcription which I made of this piece for the ensemble, it didn't really quite work to use a solo ensemble in addition to a larger ensemble because of the nature of the instrument. So all the solos are there, but they're embedded within the ensemble itself. It's a wonderful piece. It was actually requested by Elgar's publisher, August Jaeger. He's one of the friends featured in the Enigma variations. He asked Elgar for a showpiece for the strings originally, of course, and this was the newly formed London Symphony Orchestra, who gave the first performance of this in the Queen's Hall in London in March 1905. And the Times gave a glowing review of this. They said, "Never has the composer given us work of finer quality." Now, putting that in a historic context, he'd already written and performed the Enigma variations, the Sea Pictures, the Cocaine Overture, and the Dream of Gerontius. So that's quite an accolade. However, later that year, there was a first performance in America. That was in November that year. Elgar wasn't as well known, and to be honest, he still isn't in some ways. Certain pieces are played, but not all. And in that premiere, one of the critics was from the New York Times, who described the work of more than ordinary interest and importance. Faint praise indeed. My goodness. I wonder what he's think of its reputation now. It's a very powerful, impressive introduction to this with big chords. And then it relaxes into a lyrical theme, which Elgar apparently heard when he was visiting Wales. And he describes this theme as being in the Welsh idiom because of a falling third interval. Now, this appears in this ensemble arrangement in the basset horn. So can you give us the falling third interval, please? So it's just a very, very simple thing which he associated with Welsh folk songs. So in the context of that tune, it sounds like So that is the very gentle melody that appears and reappears later in the piece in a much bolder form after the rousing introduction to the piece. And it's a very, very exciting piece with a lot of energy, some relaxed passages. There's a fugue in the middle of it. Now, we very often associate fugues with Johann Sebastian Bach, and Elgar was a great fan of Bach's music. And he did say in one of his letters, writing about the piece, he said, "And I've written a devil of a fugue to play." So it is quite an interesting one, certainly. It carries on through the journey, through the development of these tunes, and it ends in a very upbeat mood. So here then is our harmony music version of the introduction and allegro by Sir Edward Elgar.